May it please the court. The trial court erred when it instructed the jury that in order to convict Mr. Ramsey, it need only find that he acted knowingly when Section 856A2 requires the defendant to act knowingly and intentionally. In this case, the essential elements of 856A2 are that the defendant managed or controlled the property, that the defendant managed or controlled that property as the lessee, and that he knowingly and intentionally made the premises available for the distribution of drugs.
What's the difference between knowingly and intentionally?
Well, I think a person acts intentionally when they desire a certain outcome. That is their goal or end result. I think a person acts knowingly when they know their actions will bring about a certain result. And I think if you act intentionally, you act knowingly. But I think a person who acts knowingly does not necessarily act intentionally. And the jury was not able to find, because it wasn't instructed that he had to also act intentionally. The prosecution certainly presented evidence that Mr. Ramsey acted knowingly, but its own evidence also shows or tends to show that he did not act intentionally.
Could you spell that out, that evidence?
Sure. When the trailer was searched and Mario Robinson, Mr. Ramsey's son, was arrested, and Mr. Ramsey was arrested, there were a total of 18 officers there, all armed, in raid gear, helmets, battering rams used. The testimony was something to the effect that they knew Mr. Robinson was dangerous, that in the search warrant application, that they knew he had weapons, they knew he fired them into the air. And again, 18 officers are used to arrest him. When they enter the home and arrest him, they find two firearms near him. And I think that evidence certainly could allow a jury to find that Mr. Ramsey did not act intentionally, that his son was using coercion to allow him to use the trailer. And I'm not saying intentionally goes to Mr. Ramsey had to intend that his son sell drugs out of the trailer. The intention goes to allowing his son to use that trailer. And I think certainly the jury could have found, if they were instructed that he had to act intentionally, that he did not. But here we weren't presented with that situation.
And was that the argument that was made in closing argument?
No, frankly, I tried to get as close as I could to that, but the instruction didn't read intentional, so I could not argue that he did not act intentionally. And I think certainly a jury could have found that.
And you submitted the instruction with the intentional prong, correct?
I did, and I objected when the judge brought that up to, I indicated that it should include the word intentional. That's what was pleaded, that's what the statute says, and that's the law. The deliberate ignorance, certainly the prosecution presented evidence of deliberate ignorance, but that only goes to the knowledge element of it, not whether he acted intentionally. And essentially, that's the thrust of my argument. I don't have any additional argument to make on that point, and this point essentially ties into our second point. And I would...
let me ask you this. Can the omission of the mens rea requirement in a jury instruction, the intentional, be treated as harmless error? Do you think it can?
Well, I think that the standard is that it has to misguide the jury to the prejudice of the defendant, and I think certainly it did. I don't think we're in a harmless error situation here, because I don't think any of the other instructions would have cured that. And the remaining points, Your Honors, I would submit on the brief.
Thank you. Frederick?
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, the argument that really was at the trial court, and I think in the defendant's opening brief on the intentional issue is a little different than what was stated here today. 856A2 is when someone maintains a place, lets someone else use it, and the other person uses it for the purpose of a crack house. And at the district court, and I believe also in the opening brief, counsel argued continuously, he has to intentional. Mr. Ramsey had to intend that his son sell dope out of that, sell crack out of that trailer they shared in Cahokia, Illinois. And this court in the United States versus Banks and other courts that are cited in the brief, I believe the Fifth Circuit and the Ninth Circuit have indicated, no, the purpose of the renter, of the person who maintains the place, in this case Mr. Ramsey, it's not his purpose. As long as he knows of the person who's selling and that the person who's selling's purpose. And that was the whole thrust of the argument. Consequently, Judge Steele decided, no, all it requires is deliberate indifference, and he so instructed the jury.
What about the statute, though, that says knowingly and intentionally?
And the only way that can be construed is that the intentional be that you intend that the person be entitled to use that premises.
And were those words used in any instruction?
Yes, they were, Your Honor. The judge did instruct the jury. He gave them what we call, referred to as a statute-defining offense, and he instructed the jury that 821 U.S.C. 856 provides in part shall be unlawful.
Right. I understand that that was given because that's
right.
I understand that was given the statute itself, but there was no instruction given to explain to the jury what that intentional component meant.
No, there wasn't, Your Honor. There was no, certainly no verdict director instructor on intentional. But again, that was never requested or raised. Counsel's proposed instruction, again, dealt with the purpose, and that was the argument in the district court.
So the defense counsel did not submit an instruction that defined intentional. That's what you're saying.
That's correct. Or a defense instruction which, again, would have cured the issue, made it clear that, one, the intentional prong goes to letting the person use the premises. Two, the knowing prong goes to whether, in fact, you have some knowledge of the person using it for a drug house, which I believe is the appropriate interpretation of the statute. Clearly says knowingly and intentionally. And to give credence to the other cases, that's the only correct interpretation of that. And
well,
again,
why would you object to an instruction that would define intentional?
Because the objection to the defense counsel's instruction is that his instruction would have been that Mr. Ramsey intend that that place be used for to sell crack out of. And that's not what the law is. It's not Mr. Ramsey's, and he doesn't have to have intent. He doesn't even have to have actual knowledge if all he has to have is deliberate indifference to the fact that his son is selling drugs out of there. In this case, as it turns out, there wasn't sufficient evidence probably to show actual knowledge, but that was the defense, and that's an incorrect statement of the law, is that Mr. Ramsey had to intend that his son sell drugs out of that. I don't believe the government could meet that. I don't think Mr. Ramsey did, in fact, intend that, but he doesn't have to. All he has to do is have knowledge that his son is selling out of drugs out of the place.
So,
and that
then,
was the
so then your view is that this intentionally that's in the statute is meaningless?
I wouldn't say it's meaningless.
So how would it
the only way to interpret it so it's not meaningless, Your Honor, is for to say that he has to intend that his son be there. In other words, if his son is sneaking, you know, happens to have a key to his dad's trailer and is sneaking on to the premises and selling that, he has to have intent that his son use the premise. And here, I don't think there was ever any question that that in fact happened. They lived together. It was the son living with his father.
So normally when the government charges this kind of violation, there is no second instruction that defines intentionally?
Well, actually, the Seventh Circuit never really, I mean, we don't have a pattern instruction ever defining intentional, Your Honor. We, in the Seventh Circuit, we don't define that. I think the committee comments say that the jury's presumed to understand what intentional is.
It's like reasonable doubt.
Correct, Your Honor, which is certainly a no-no.
Although there are some people who think there should be.
Yes. Not in Wisconsin State Court.
Yeah.
Right. But But there is, I believe it's 60, it may be 604 of the instructions, which talks about intentionally, and the committee comments are, we don't define intentional. So it would never be defined. Your Honor, if I had to construct, after I see the argument now that comes up in the reply brief for the first time, I would have it that the defendant has to intend that his son be able to use the property, and having that intent, know or have be deliberately indifferent that his son is also using it to sell crack. Because clearly the statute says knowingly and intentionally, and no, I can't say that we can write intentionally out of the statute. But that was never addressed at the trial court. That was not the issue. The fight in the trial court over whether it was intentional was whether the purpose had to be Mr. Ramsey's intent as well. And the judge, Judge Steele, I believe correctly concluded, based on precedent from this circuit, is that the purpose of Mr. Ramsey, all he has to do is have knowledge, and that the purpose has to be Mr. Robinson, his son. And I think the cases that talk about that issue do so in a way, otherwise there's no need for an 856A2. You just have an 856A1 if it's that would be the intent there. And that was the fight there. If in fact there's some argument that there was never any issue raised that Mr. Robinson was coerced, or Mr. Ramsey was coerced or held by gunpoint by his son, that this was anything but a voluntary situation of a son living with his father. As a matter of fact, there was evidence that before they had moved to the trailer, they had lived together at an apartment in Belleville, Illinois, and that Mr. Robinson had sold crack from that apartment. And then they had moved to this trailer in Cahokia, Illinois, and he continued with his father, and he continued to sell crack from that.
How many sales was the father present at that took place?
Well, we had we don't know about the night we made the three controlled buys off him. I mean, we know he was present there the day we executed the search warrant and found quite a substantial amount of crack and powder cocaine. We do know from the one customer who did testify that his testimony, I believe, was 35 to 40 times on different occasions. He arrived at the trailer sometimes more than once a day, that many, many times the father was there, that in the course of coming there to buy crack cocaine, he had met Mr. Ramsey, the father. And oftentimes Mr. Ramsey would go into a bedroom when the transaction occurred, and then oftentimes he saw Mr. Ramsey there in the living room when there was crack out on the table and crack. He didn't quantify the number of times that he thought that Mr. Ramsey, the father, was there. But there was substantial evidence. It was not an isolated indication. And Mr. Ramsey made a statement, an oral statement, which was written out, which he then signed, indicating, yes, I know my son sells crack cocaine from this trailer. I don't like it. I've tried to talk him out of it, but he's hard-headed and continues to do so. But there was never any suggestion at all that Mr. Ramsey acted involuntarily or not intentionally in permitting his son to use that trailer. So consequently, I believe that based on what was argued to the trial court, I didn't raise a waiver argument in my brief because, again, this issue seems to have come up about this prong in the reply brief, but that the jury was properly instructed. And in any event, they did have the statute defining offense, which sets forth the general standard. And even if not, I would argue that it would be. There was never a question. It was not an issue in the trial court whether Mr. Robinson was there because he unintentionally on Mr. Ramsey's part. If the court has any other questions, I'll address them. Otherwise, I urge you to affirm the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the instruction that's at page 10 of your appendix, that's the one that the court gave, correct?
That is correct, Judge.
And so in that second component, it says that the defendant knowingly allowed others to use said place or purpose in distribution and possession with intent to distribute crack cocaine. Why isn't that enough?
Well, Judge, I believe it should read that the defendant knowingly and intentionally allowed others.
And your instruction that said that, where is that in the record? Because counsel says that he doesn't believe you submitted an instruction.
Your Honor, I did submit an instruction. I can't tell you where it is in the record, but nevertheless, when we dealt with this instruction that's on page 10 of my brief, I objected to the giving of this instruction because it should include the word intentionally. I think that would have been proper. I think that you can have knowingly and intentionally and have the deliberate ignorance instruction, because there was a separate instruction that I believe talked about deliberate ignorance went to knowledge. And that never have I argued that Mr. Ramsey had to intend for his son to sell drugs out of that trailer.
So the instruction, though, that you submitted is in the record. You just don't know the number.
It is, Judge. But my point is that nevertheless, the one that was given I objected to, in that it should include the word intentionally. And the fact that the jury was given a statute that had intentionally, I don't think that corrects this problem, because their verdict directing instruction doesn't have the word intentionally. And simply saying there's no issue that Mr. Ramsey, there's never any issue that he did this other than intentional, it's not incumbent upon him to do anything. He doesn't have to present any evidence at all.
Well, this argument you made about the father possibly being coerced, is this the first time that's ever been raised, as the government says?
No, I don't think so. I think that the jury is free to find that simply.
No, I'm asking whether you argued that to the district court. That the father, that you argued it to the district court in the context of trying to get this instruction that said knowingly and intentionally.
No, I think my recollection was I told the judge that it needed to say knowingly and intentionally, and that's what the law was, and that's what the statute reads, and that's what was pleaded in the indictment.
Right, so you didn't indicate to him that you would have used it to say that the father was coerced by the son.
No, nor do I think I needed to tell him that, but needless to say, I think had that the word intentionally been in the instruction, the jury could have found that he did not act intentionally. For those reasons, we'd ask you to reverse his conviction.
Thank you, Mr. Shostak. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.